Well, we thank the Lord today that we can live in such a way that we can say and know that Christ is satisfied with us. That's going to be important someday, and to the wise man, it's important today. There's a lot of scoffers, and there's a lot of unbelief in this world that maybe would say that it doesn't matter, but it will matter. And it does matter that the Lord is satisfied with us. And Lord, help us to believe that and live in such a way that He will smile when He thinks of us today, and He will be able to, with a wonderful smile, welcome us into the glory world. I want us to consider some thoughts today. And the thought is this: God wants us to know Him. God wants us to understand Him. God wants us to have a knowledge of the divine. And how wonderful that is, and how powerful that is, and how gracious of Him to be willing to allow us to have a knowledge of that which is holy and that which is righteous. I'd like to ask you to think on this a few seconds or a moment. When you think about the word knowledge, ask yourself, and maybe ask and answer yourself somewhat, how valuable is knowledge? How valuable is knowledge? Knowledge is something that we all have some of. Knowledge is something we use every day. Knowledge is something that we share. Knowledge is something that is useful. It's a tool. Knowledge has a lot of aspects to it. How valuable is knowledge? On your job, as you drive down the highway? How valuable is knowledge when you make decisions? And what would there be if there was no knowledge? Thinking about knowledge just a little bit. What if knowledge was exclusive to the founder of that particular fact? What if the man who some way or another invented a wheel, but no one else would ever have access to that knowledge? What if there was no sharing of knowledge? What if there was no encyclopedia? No dictionary. What if there was no sharing of the basic facts of mathematics when they were first maybe invented? What if there was no sharing of the laws of physics and chemistry? What if someone one day discovered something but never told anyone else about it? I worked with a man one time. I've told this little story once before. But on a construction job, when toward the end of that construction job, and periodically in between also, but especially at the end of that construction job, you had to prepare a final estimate to submit to the state, who would reimburse and pay the contractors. And a lot of it was, of course, built according to the plans, but you still had to take field measurements to compute the actual quantities, say, of concrete that went into a structure. It could vary slightly from most of the time from the plan quantity. So we would, some of us that the engineer would point, we'd go into the office and we'd start computing these quantities. We'd go out and measure, then we'd come and compute the quantities. And there was a man, he was an intelligent man, that worked in the office full time. And invariably he would say something like this when we would have the quantities ready to go into the estimates or the final payment. He said, "Oh yeah, I already got that." And what he'd do, he would compute things, figure out things, make assessments and valuable information, have it on some paper, maybe 4 or 5 pieces of paper. He'd open his drawer, lay it in there, and shut the door. And there it would stay till after you had already gone out and done the work. Oh yeah, I did that 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago. I found him in, I liked him in that sense, but I found him a very frustrating person to work with. Sharing knowledge is so valuable. It's so essential. None of us have all the understanding. None of us have all knowledge. So to share the knowledge of something is critical. Then I think about the Lord and how gracious it is for God to be willing to share and give the knowledge of the divine. None of us were ever able to go up into heaven and bring Christ down. And none of us were able to have the mind of the Lord. None of us had the capacity to understand the divine knowledge of God, lest He in His mercy share that with us. So we look on knowledge and we understand today how valuable it is. Did you know without knowledge, nothing that we see perhaps, except us perhaps, would exist? But there takes a knowledge of how to grow food. There takes a knowledge of how to drive an automobile. What if there was no knowledge? What if there was, we were ignorant of knowledge? There's an old saying that's quite false. I guess it has a few applications, but it says ignorance is bliss. But in reality, it's not. We need knowledge. We need understanding. And the Lord understands that, and He knows that. And God, who is all wise, all knowing, knows all the great mysteries, He wants to impart that to us. He wants to share that with us. He wants you and me to know Him. He wants you and me to know His will and His way, His holiness, His righteousness, His character, His word. God wants us to know not only for His glory, but for our benefit. There's a scripture over in Psalms 107 and 20. And I find so many times in a world full of knowledge, some people have an aversion to knowledge. And sometimes that aversion comes because it takes discipline. It takes being willing to apply oneself. It takes homework. It takes maybe changing what I thought or how I was going to do it. Sometimes people don't want knowledge of a better way because that better way will require them to say, well, that's a better way, and my way is not as good. And pride gets in, and self-will, and just plain stubbornness. But may we this morning have a real zeal for knowledge, and especially the knowledge of God. Over in Psalms 107:20, I said, 19th, 18th verses talked about man had got themselves in some real hard places, made some real bad choices. The 20th verse said, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. The Lord looks down on us and He recognizes how much we need knowledge, how much we need to understand it, that we can't direct our own way. And every time we do, we invariably wind up digging a hole for ourselves and then falling in it. Here we read about people that had abhorred Him. They had turned to their own ways. They had done evil in His sight. And in His gracious goodness, He sent His word. He sent His knowledge. He sent instructions. You know, it's a wonderful thing. God has given us instructions. And I would ask us today, when's the last time we read the instruction manual? Something very simple. Something all of us probably past the age of 6 can do. But when is the last time we said, thank you, Lord, for instruction. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for the knowledge that you have imparted to us just through the word alone. Praise God for that. Have we sometimes forgot how precious knowledge is and forgot to look into it? But He sent His word. In His gracious love, He looked down and said, they're really in a fix. They're really in trouble. And He sent His word, a knowledge of Him, and He delivered them. So you look around at us. and mankind in general. And you'll find that because of a lack of knowledge of a subject or of a tool or whatever it may be, people have gotten themselves in some rather difficult places. Sometimes they're embarrassing places. Sometimes they're dangerous places. And a lack of obeying, a lack of conforming to God's word this morning has serious consequences to us. And I'm glad this morning God has sent His word so that we might have a knowledge of Him, that we not be ignorant. And He was willing to share that. What if God had all this vast reservoir of knowledge, all knowledge, and would not impart that to us? That wouldn't be very gracious, and certainly wouldn't be very merciful, would it? But thank God that He was willing to share. Scripture over in 1 Timothy, now excuse me, I want to go to Psalms 139. 139:6. Talks about the power of God to know us, to search us out, to know our words, our thoughts. God is all around us, above us, able to see everything. As David began to think on that, I suppose he came to this exclamation in 139:6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. We get to thinking about God, how great He is, how much He knows and how much He understands. And we feel so helpless and we feel so unable to comprehend and understand the divine. And David cried out, I can't attain to that. God's ways are higher than our ways. And his past understanding. What if God in his mind said, well, I'll not share it. I'm going to let them figure it out. Did you know people trying to figure out God have got themselves in trouble too? That's where false doctrines and Babylon and religion comes from. People's mindsets come up with all kind of ideas of what God is or how God acts and how to interpret His word. There are things that only He can impart to us. And it's too high for us in our own selves to understand. But thank God today, God is willing to impart to us. God is willing to instruct us that we can know the mind of the Lord. We can have divine knowledge in our heart. Not because we figured it out, but because God is willing today to share with us, instruct us. Now let's think about the scripture over in 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, without a question, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is God. Great is His knowledge and great is His understanding. It's a great mystery that without Him we can't understand these things. We're left in the dark without God. The earth, how it came to be. The planets, how they came to be. The other night, Karen spoke about, we was out at night there and looked up into the heavens and it was a real moonlit night, but yet there was still a myriad of stars that could still be seen. And I was kind of reclining, looking up at those, and I thought, without a knowledge of God, you could understand how all kind of stories get started. You know, how the stars got in place, and they put names to them, and they had to devise ways of how all this came into being, because no one knew without God. It's a great mystery concerning God. Yet the good news is, God doesn't want to leave you and me in the dark. But He wants us to understand His way. And we praise Him and thank Him for that. But it's a great mystery. Without controversy. Without question. Over in John 16. Over in John 16 and the 12th verse. The Lord was speaking to them while He was here on earth. And He had shown them many things, and He had talked to them about many things. And some they understood a little bit. But the majority of it, they really missed the point of it. And they didn't get the true depth of it and the true meanings of all that he was doing and all that he was saying. And in the 12th verse of the 16th chapter of John, he said this, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Think about the vast reservoir of the knowledge of God. How could you even fathom it? It's a great mystery. It can't be conceived. It cannot be understood. And the Lord said, I have many things to tell you. Truly, we ought to be thankful today for God being willing to tell us and wanting to tell us. But he said, in your condition, where you are right now, you're not able to bear that. You're not able to comprehend it. You're not able to grasp it. You're not able to enter into the depth of it. You're not able to let its truth work in your heart, work in your mind. May today we have a real desire for knowledge of God, for the dynamics of it alive in us, working in us, and being able to perform its work in our life. When we learn knowledge of physics, we put it to work in our life. When we learn and understand more of the knowledge of God, we want to put that to work in our life. Let it be a tool. Let it be effective. Let it accomplish. Not just a information that we discard or, oh yeah, I know that, and open a drawer somewhere and slide it in there and shut the drawer, never to be seen again. But may we apply it to our life. May we judge ourselves by it. The Bible said if we'd judge ourselves, we'd have need not to be judged. But sometimes we take this great knowledge, this vast array of the love of God, and we file it away somewhere, and we don't apply it to our lives. Not able to bear it, not able to comprehend it. I'm glad the Lord didn't just say you're not able to understand it, but I'm glad the Lord was willing to help you and me to understand it. I'm glad he made a means whereby he wouldn't leave us in that condition of not being able to bear it. Over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, they asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he said things in there that, oh, I don't know, maybe we could misunderstand or maybe we don't completely understand. But he talked about to them, the disciples were given to know. And yet at the same times, over in John, he said that there were still things that even they didn't understand. He spoke in the 13th chapter of Matthew about the people's heart all around them had grown wax, gross, and cold, and indifferent. How they had allowed ignorance and how they had allowed sin to incorporate itself in their life to where God and the knowledge of God was distorted and pushed to one side. And they didn't seem to have respect or reverence for God as they should. And another place they taught the teaching of men. They usurped authority over God. So he talked to them in parables. And I think it's interesting to me, and this is what I've often thought about a parable. A parable is a story, isn't it? It can be true, or it cannot be actually a happened event. We also think of the word allegory. But we can take a story, true or untrue, just a story, and we can apply principles to it. And Jesus did that. He taught them certain principles by teaching them a parable. And while they couldn't understand the depth of the knowledge of God, they could understand the principle of what he was trying to say. They could get the parable. And we know they got the parable because in a place or two in the Bible it said the Pharisees especially, they perceived that he was talking about them. They understood that. God wanted us to know so much that he went to all kind of extents that we would know. Even when men's hearts were gross and couldn't understand a direct communication, their iniquities had separated him from them or them from him. And he was unable to live in them, and he was unable to walk with them daily, and they were not, because of their sin, holy, nor had they power over it. Yet the Lord came to just such a people, endeavoring to teach them. He said, "How oft I would have gathered you. I would love to have imparted to you my knowledge. I would have loved to found you receptive to who I am and to the possibility and the ushering in of the gospel dispensation. I wanted that and I desired that, and had you have received it, I would have gladly imparted all that I am to you." So he spoke to them in parables so that they could at least get a glimpse of what he was talking about. By and large, it went unheeded and it was not understood. But I'm glad this morning that even something better than parables are, that there's something better than God just having to speak to you and me through a little story or through something that we can say, "Okay, now the Lord said this. Ah, this is what he was trying to tell me." But I'm glad today that there's even a dispensation where the knowledge of God can be in our hearts, be written upon the table of our heart, that you and me can have a divine acquaintance with him, that he can actually be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad today that the Word of God and the knowledge of God does not have to be secondhand or distant, but it can be firsthand, living in you, living in me, that it can have its work, and God is not trying to be selective, but he's willing to impart to us a knowledge of the divine. Over in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, when you think about the stars and you think about the elements, and you think about where did man come from and what the first man may have looked like, and just all the mysteries of the universe and mysteries of life itself, you could see how people could let their imaginations just go and invent and come up through ignorance all manner of theories and what they would call truths. No man in his own power or authority has been able to transcend his own lack of knowledge, his own ignorance, and go into the realm of the divine. We needed help to do that. We couldn't just say, "Today I'm going to be spiritual and I am going to understand God and the mysteries of godliness. I'm going to get out of my ignorance and just become a Christian or become godly and understand what God." We couldn't do that. We couldn't just make ourselves make that transition. God knew that. And this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." They're not in man. Without God, there's no knowledge of God. Without God, there's no understanding of his ways. Without God being willing to teach us and show us and impart to us and come down to us, we would be lost in our ignorance. Every man finding his own way spiritually, and every man destined to be lost through an ageless eternity. Without God coming down and showing us and demonstrating to us and giving us of his knowledge. No man has been able to have it in his own heart or his own ears or his own mind. But God hath revealed these great mysteries, and this great knowledge went beyond the prophets. He went beyond the Ten Commandments. He went beyond the parables. But he came down and he said, in one place, "It's expedient that I go away. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." I thank God today for that. Now that's what's available to us. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Those things that are too high. Those things that we cannot attain to. Those mysteries, those understandings that only God alone has, that we're just, we're in awe. We look up and we see the handiwork of God and the creation of God, and we have no answer for it. And we look at the sinful nature of man, and we have no understanding to the answer of it. And the deep things of God, God has allowed us now to understand, be able to attain to. And He's revealed that to us by His Spirit. Thank God today that the Spirit of God, it is that element that is of God that comes directly and personally to every one of us. It's a guide. It's an instructor. It is the book of life or the book of knowledge. It is the understanding of God coming in to our heart to give us an understanding of the divine. Peter wrote that we have received the divine nature given to us, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, another writer said of God. We have these things given to us, imparted to us. You might think of an education and the availability of that, say in America today. It's there because men have struggled to make it so. Well, God has went to a lot of effort and work to make it so that you and me might have a knowledge through the Spirit of God of the divine, not just a partial knowledge, but that Spirit will come and take up its abode in our heart. He said that He searches the deep things of God, those hidden mysteries that men have fallen so short of understanding. It's a well of water, He said in another place, well that springs up within every one of us, that we might have that well. I believe David said that He would bring us into a wealthy place. And I thought about a wealth of knowledge, that you and me can know God. You and me can be acquainted with Him now. That we don't have to be ignorant of His ways. That His Word can come alive to us. And we can have understanding. If I passed out a calculus book to us today, the majority of us, I'm sure, would say, what is that? We'd have no knowledge of it. Did you know there was a time when maybe the Word of God was such? People didn't understand God. But now we not only have the Word that He sent, but we also have an understanding of the Word. We can read the Word and not as the eunuch who couldn't understand, but now we can understand. And we don't have to be ignorant of God's Word any longer. It's presented to us. Lord, help us today to have a hunger for that, a thirst for it, a quest for it. Have a desire to have the Spirit of God living in us, revealing Himself to us, giving us knowledge of how to resist the devil, giving us knowledge of His holiness, of His love, of His judgments, of His righteousness, and of His mercy. God wants to do that for us. Where would we be without knowledge? What will happen to us as a people if we lose a knowledge of God? There was a place that He speaks about when they chose not to retain a knowledge of God. And what was the consequences of that? The Lord said, okay. And He gave them over. He didn't just say, okay, casually. I don't want to imply that. It was with much heartache and much sorrow. But He allowed that man, that woman, that people to accept that kind of thinking. And He gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind void of true judgment. A mind that was void of the consequences of their actions. Because they chose not or didn't want to retain a knowledge of God. Folks, you know what would happen to us if we went to school 12 years, 16, 17 years, and had a knowledge of physics and mathematics and English, social studies and sciences. And if right at the end we said, I choose not to retain a knowledge of that, I'm going to figure it out all on my own. You know what would happen to us. We'd be out there knocking on doors saying, can you spare a piece of bread? We'd be making terrible, terrible financial mistakes, physical mistakes, and on. If you and me, if we must want and desire to retain a knowledge, and have a knowledge of God. It's our way of escape. It's our hope. It's our joy that is set before us today. He said that over in Hebrews 8 and 11, that we all can know Him from the least to the greatest. Over in John, I want to go back there a moment. I'll go there and consider John 16. Some verses here now. Because you see, it's the Spirit of God that is the teacher, that is the instructor, the one that empowers us, the one that gives us understanding, and the one that takes the mysteries of godliness and makes them alive to us. It's the element of God that takes those things that Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them or comprehend them or understand them. The Spirit of God coming into our life and having authority there makes then the Word of God understandable. It makes it alive. It gives us a knowledge of what God wants, expects, and has for us. And over in John, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, nevertheless, so this is the 7th verse of the 16th chapter of John, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. So the Lord is telling us that this that was to come, that He was saying would happen when He went away, He would send to us a Comforter. And it was a necessary part of the plan of salvation. May I say, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand Him. He doesn't want us ignorant of Him. He realizes the vast reservoir of power, mercy, grace, and truth He has to give us. But in our flesh, in the human thinking, we're not able to understand it. It's too great for us. We cannot attain to it, and we'll choose our own ways and come up with all kind of ideas. So He said it's expedient that I go away. Now let's skip down to the 12th verse. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. We've read that. Now, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. What a statement. What a statement. This knowledge, it is too great. This truth that sets us free. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed this knowledge to us by His Spirit, by His Comforter. Lord, help us today to be a possessor of the Spirit of God. Not just to have a knowledge of its existence, of His existence rather, that God wants to give it to us, but be a possessor of this Comforter. I think it's only right that at times this Bible speaks about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God being a Comforter. Because, you know, many times in life when we don't know the answers, we can find ourselves in a great tumult. We can find ourselves in trouble. We can find a lot of anxious times, a lot of anxiety. But it's a comfort to us to know the answer. It's a comfort to us to find the solution. It's a comfort to us to have direction. And we breathe easier. We're a happier people. I think it's just right that He's called here the Comforter. And He said this Comforter will lead us into this vastness of God's knowledge, of His understanding. He will reveal to us the divine. He will reveal to us the knowledge that you and me need to equip us that we might live holy, righteous, soberly, godly in this present world. That we may know how to be a tree of righteousness. That we might know how to be a city set on a hill, how to be the salt of the earth, how to obey Him. Thank God today that God didn't say, I've got a bunch of ignorant people out there and I'm going to keep them that way. God wants to impart to us who He is, what He is, and what He has for us. He said, it's expedient. It's almost like the Lord is saying, I got to hurry up and get out of here so you can have what I have. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Thank the Lord today that God wants to show us the Father, or himself. Jesus wanted us to see the Father through him. This morning, thank the Lord for knowledge. I am glad for the knowledge we have of the material world. That is very convenient. I enjoy that. Thank the Lord for the physical world that we understand at least part of that. And for the knowledge we have of that. It protects us. It makes life easier. It makes life safer. It makes life healthier in so many ways. So we're glad for knowledge today. Thank the Lord for mathematics and the universality of it. I'm glad that it's everywhere you go, math is math. Thank the Lord that there have been people willing to share their knowledge. The man who discovered, say, how electricity could be used. I'm glad he didn't have all the light bulbs in his building, and that's the only one that ever had a light bulb. You go over to Edison's place, and man, it's light. You go over to my place, go down to anywhere else, it's dark. The sharing of that knowledge. I'm glad today for that. I am so glad that God, in his mercy, would share us the great mystery of his kingdom, the mystery of godliness and of his righteousness. I'd like to end this morning with a very wonderful, in my mind, scripture. It's over in Revelations, the 3rd chapter, in the 7th and the 8th verse. If a person wants an education, he can get it, or she can get it. They may have to make some arrangements. They may have to work hard. But a door has been opened in America, and people can today, if they will, receive an education. And they can receive it to the degree they want to pursue it. Listen to what he said here in the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these same things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. I believe this is Jesus Christ speaking of himself. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Thank God this morning. On the cross, at the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, a great door was opened for us. A door to the knowledge of the divine. A knowledge of what God wants and how we can achieve it in our life. That no longer does he have to speak to us through prophets. No longer does his law have to be on tables of stone. No longer does he have to try to impart to us through parables. No longer is man estranged from God. No longer do we have to perish from a lack of knowledge. No longer do we have to blindly pursue our own way to try to find the measure of happiness or be ignorant of how to please God. God has opened up a door, he said. It's a large door and it's a wonderful door. And he said, no man is able to shut it. No man is able to keep you or me from this knowledge now. Only ourselves. The knowledge is there. The price has been paid. The tuition, if you will, has been paid. To you and to me now is given the right to the tree of life or the tree of knowledge. Are we today taking advantage of what Christ has paid for? We live in a day, especially, it's not free, I realize that, But we live in a time of secondary education that it's free. The student does not have to pay. The parent does not have to pay. Public schools are open. We live in a time there's really no excuse for a child not to get the minimum of a high school education. It's there. It's available. The school buses run. The textbooks are there. The paper and the pencil are there. The teacher is there. And it's not so much that it's not there, it's that people won't apply themselves to what is there. May I say, a great door is open to us, and no man can shut it. We can have the Spirit of God. We can have now a knowledge of the divine. God's willing to share it. God has died, Christ has died, that He might share it. So I'd like to encourage us today. Let's avail ourselves now. You know, we understand how important knowledge is. We understand how helpless we are without knowledge and how foolish we would appear trying to do something without knowledge. Have you ever tried that? Try to fake your way through something? Kind of always has a little embarrassing tailspin to it most of the time. Lord, help us today to take advantage of this wonderful door, the door of knowledge of God. I can know Him from the least to the greatest, if there is such a thing. We all can know Him. We can all be a possessor of His Holy Ghost. It's not something that's kept in a corner anymore, but it's something that's been opened to all, whosoever will. Paul wrote to Timothy to study to show himself approved. Listen, today, I want to encourage us. Let's go in at this door now. And let's learn what God has for us to learn. He said many things. You know, God has made it so that we're able to understand it now. He said, you're not able to bear it. You know, I could tell you some real deep things. He was talking to His disciples. I could explain some great mysteries to you of holiness and righteousness and obedience and faith, and etc. But if I tried to, it would go over your head. Now the door has been opened, folks. And you and I have access to the divine. We can be a partaker of His Spirit, of His Word, and of His divine nature. It's free. No man can shut us out. If I so choose, I can understand God today. You pray for me.